Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
So this week in Bible engagement, we're just going to talk about the importance of staying committed despite persecution, despite everything that we might go through. And it's going to really cover the life of Stephen, who was the first martyr as a Christian. And I want to start with a story that we've emphasized a couple of times in this house, and the Holy Spirit was just wanting to bring it back, because the theme for this 2025 is live bold. Live bold. We talked about being all in. We talked about going for more. Well, this year, we got to live bold. Say, live bold. And today, I want to talk about how to have bold faith. And when I was praying and seeking the Holy Spirit, what do you mean by live bold? Two words came to my heart. Live bold is bold faith and bold love. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the love of the Father, not needing to feel like we're rejected or not worthy, because God the Father has adopted us. He loves us. He's chosen us. And then last week, Pastor Jaron talked more about love and relationships and trust. And so this week, the Holy Spirit just had me zero in on bold faith, because I believe that we are in a time in history, especially in America, where we will continue to experience greater levels of persecution. You've already seen it over the last decade, where people are getting canceled, kicked off social media for standing up for truth or righteousness. We're seeing the war in our culture over ideologies about gender and marriage. We're seeing the clash of truth and lies. And we're seeing this light and darkness more and more. And the Lord is commanding you and me by the power of the Holy Spirit to live bold, to not shrink back in fear, for we have not been given a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so today we're going to look at how do we live bold by having bold faith. Say it again, bold faith. Go to Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to ask again, please get in the discipline of bringing a Bible to church. I know it's a novel concept, but please, why? Because I want you to have the experience to build the muscle memory of what it is to open your Bible, to find the scripture we're going to be reading. I'm finding it, so that means you got time too to find it. We got the lights on. I'm going to keep harping on it, because the only way you and I can make it, the only way you and I can stand firm until the end, is if we read our Bible. The most famous influencer isn't going to help you. The best pastor in the world with all the sermons and podcasts can only do so much for you. You have got to learn to feed yourself. It's not enough to eat on Sunday morning only. Your spiritual life will suffer. In order to have bold faith, in order to live bold, you need to have the word, because faith comes by hearing the words of Christ. So Acts chapter 3, we're going to read 1 through 16, straight on through. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he would beg for people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar that they had seen at the temple gate, the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity, bold faith. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life." Bold faith. "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Look at verse 16. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." Lord, let us get your word. Let us build faith to be bold like Peter. In Jesus' name. This story strikes me every time I read it, because Peter and John were doing something that they always did. They were going to the temple to pray. This was something that they probably did on a very regular basis, like you and I go to the grocery store. And as they were walking in, they probably saw this man multiple times. But this time the man summons them. "Hey, can you help me? Can you give me something?" And Peter says, "Look at us." And the man's like, "Yay, money." And Peter's like, "We don't have money, but I give you what I do have. In Jesus' name, walk." Bold faith. In an ordinary trip, on a regular visit to pray, they stopped. They noticed the need. They noticed the man with the need. And instead of saying, "There's nothing I can do, I don't have anything," they said, "I'll give you what I have, Jesus. My faith in Jesus and in the name of Jesus." The man had no faith. He thought he was getting money. It doesn't matter if they have faith. Do you have faith? Peter had faith. He said, "In Jesus' name, walk." And then Peter just didn't let him sit there and go, "Huh? Say what?" He grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up. Talk about bold faith. Pulled him up, and instantly the man's legs and knees were strengthened, and he could walk and he could jump and he could praise God. Bold faith. See, it's not about what you and I have. It's about who we have. I'm going to say it again. Bold faith is not about what you and I have or don't have. Bold faith is about who we have. It's not about a degree in theology. It's not about being an expert in apologetics. Some of you don't even know what that means. It's okay. You have Jesus. And you have the Spirit of Christ living in you, the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if you can feed the homeless person or not. Why don't you give them a smile and give them Jesus? Why don't you see the person and the opportunity? I love how Peter saw an opportunity to change this man's life and he took it. I believe that God is looking for his people to start stepping up in bold faith. And when we see an opportunity, don't shrink back in fear, because I don't have it. Peter and John could have said, "Well, we ain't Jesus. There's nothing we can do." They said, "No, we'll give you what we have. We got Jesus. In Jesus' name, get up and walk." Peter saw an opportunity and he took a bold step of faith. And then I love how it says in verse 12 that when the crowd gathered in amazement, because they recognized this is the man who could not walk, who was begging every day. Now this man who could not walk is jumping and running and leaping and praising God. And they're like, "Wow." Okay? Now we do it with videos. But there was in person, and they all ran to see this man who was miraculously healed, and Peter saw another opportunity. Look at that, verse 12. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. Bold faith. He could have been like, "Nothing to see here, guys. You know? Well, I, I shouldn't talk about Jesus in the public square. They, you know, it's okay. I mean, yeah, you know, Jesus did it. Say, pray. He saw an opportunity. And he preached so bold, he's like, you killed Jesus. I read that and I'm like, dude. Because I grew up in the post-church modern history in America, like all you did. And we were told, keep your religion to yourself. We were told, don't talk about religion. Don't talk about spirituality. Don't do it because you might offend somebody. I grew up in the seeker-sensitive modality of church going, which means we want to make everything so pleasant that people will feel comfortable so they'll stay. The problem is you can stay and never be changed. And so I'm going to be honest with you. I've had to go through a process of undoing that kind of program in the church. Keep it to yourself. Stay quiet. Don't offend. And I've had to undo that. Even sometimes when I became the pastor, I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, if I say something, what if they leave? And I just had to get to the point where it doesn't matter. I need to be bold. I need to speak truth in love. But I need to stand for righteousness and truth. And if you don't like it and you leave, bless you. It's okay. There is an undoing that needs to be happening in our mindsets to live bold, to have bold faith. Peter saw an opportunity with an individual, but then he saw an opportunity in the crowd to address what was happening, that it was verse 16, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how crippled he was. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. He didn't take the glory. He didn't take the credit. He knew exactly where to give it. I'm here to tell you, I'm so grateful. I was looking back at 24 and I was thanking the Lord for all he has allowed our little church to do. But it's not us, it's all him. It's his grace, it's his spirit. But all the outreaches, all the lives impacted, CEF, Good News Club, JYCs, everything that we get to do on our mission trips, it's not us. It's him. We should never take credit for what God accomplishes in this house. It is all his mercy. So thank you, God, for your mercy over this house. Thank you that you see a whole bunch of us and you say, yeah, come join me. And you give us what we need to do what you've called us to do. You make all grace abound so that in all times we have all that we need to do all that you've called us to do. Amen. So when this happens, the religious leaders, the influencers of the day, they take notice as well. And they hear what Peter says and they don't like it. And they try to silence Peter and John. They actually arrest him. If you think that only pastors in communist countries are being arrested, think again. It's happened in America. It's happened in Canada. It's happening in Europe. I heard a story last week that just blew my mind away. A woman in England was standing across the street from an abortion clinic saying nothing. No signs, no shirts, no nothing. All she was doing was praying quietly to herself. And a police officer walked up to her and said, ma'am, are you praying? And she said, well, yes. You're under arrest. And she said, why? Nobody can hear me. I'm praying to myself. You are not allowed across the street from this clinic and pray. And they arrested her. Wake up. We need to understand the times we're living in. Part of my responsibility as your pastor is to help equip you to live bold because the times we are living in require it. I don't know what is going to happen in America, but I believe we have a window of grace to make societal change. But if the church won't live with bold faith, we will not bring change because the loudest voices are controlling our culture. But the people of God, we don't do it through noise. We do it through bold faith and bold love. We have an opportunity to protect the religious freedoms of this nation. We have an opportunity to change the ideology of our nation. But it will not happen if we're just busy in our day-to-day, going to work, going home, taking care of kids, doing the everyday, same old, same old. Do you hear me? That's what the church was told to do all those years. And what happened? We lost our influence in our culture. I believe we are in a season where God is giving the church grace and he's blowing the trumpet to say, now is the time to live bold. Bold in your faith, bold love. And people will notice. You don't even have to preach at them. They'll see it and they'll notice. So they were arrested. They were told to shut up, to stop talking about it. They were trying to be canceled and silenced, and they were brought under arrest. And I want to look at Acts chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Because sometimes bold faith comes with mixed results. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus, there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put him in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, and the number of men who believe now totaled about 5,000. When you step out in bold faith, expect mixed results. Some people will like it, some people will be drawn to Jesus, some people will want to know about Jesus, and other people will tell you to go and shove it. And don't talk to me again about it. I don't want your God, I don't want your Jesus. Well, if that's how they feel, fine. Bold faith will have mixed results. The man was healed, and now 5,000 men, not counting women and children, are now believers in Jesus Christ. Are you willing to risk some persecution for the saving of lives? Are you willing to be canceled, mocked, outcasted, isolated, so that people can come to know Jesus? It's the question I believe is before us. Are you willing to live your faith not in a religious, prideful, ugly, appalling way, but in a genuine, authentic, I love God, I love people, appealing way? In your work, in your family gatherings, with your friends, when you're driving on the street, when you're in the marketplace, are you willing to have bold faith? And just expect there will be mixed results. And then let's pick it up in verse 7, chapter 4. So they brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Now look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, see, respectful, are we being questioned today because we have done a good thing for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training, no Bible degree, no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They get questioned, and I love Peter's bold faith. His bold faith was willing to say, I know you don't like the name of Jesus, but I'm going to speak it anyways. I'm going to live my genuine faith, and I'm going to speak it. You want the truth? I will share the truth with you. But look at, they were respectful about it. When you share your faith, when somebody asks you about it, be respectful. Paul tells Timothy, when someone asks you for the hope you have, do it in a gentle and respectful way. Nobody here is better than anybody else. Amen. So we share our faith in a way that is respectful, in a way that is still true and bold, but with respect. It is not your job to persuade anybody. Holy Spirit persuades. You and I just simply speak truth. We share our story. In our Bible, I was in our Bible engagement, our Bible study with the women yesterday. We were talking about how to be good listeners and how to engage with people who are not saved. And I love what Sister Sunny said. And I told her yesterday I was going to share it today. So I already got permission. She said, yeah, when people at work who don't believe and they want to come up to me and I could tell they kind of just want to pick a fight or they just want to argue. You know the difference between someone who's genuinely asking about your belief in God and people who just want to argue, right? We know the difference. And she said, when they come to me like that and want to ask or talk about God or spirituality, and I can tell that they're not really asking out of a genuine searching place, she's like, I just share my testimony. And I said, oh, that's good. I got to share that. So when someone comes to you, it's like, oh, yeah, well, why do you believe in God? You know, religion, crutch. You don't argue with them. Say, for me, man, I've experienced the power of God's love, and it's changed my life in a way that nobody could ever change my mind. Like, I just know that I was confused and lost. I didn't know anything, and then I found Jesus, and now everything has changed. You don't have to argue, convince, debate. Just be honest about your own testimony and the way that God has changed your life. That's what Peter and John did. They were respectful, but they also spoke the truth. And look at the important verse, verse 8. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So, and we're going to read it in a little bit, but we have the promise that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. So I love that because you and I don't even have to depend on our own. Oh my goodness, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Do you know when I've been asked questions, whether in the hospital or in ministry or in my family that I don't know, you know what I say? I don't know. Novel idea, right? I give you permission to say, I don't know. But I'll ask my pastor or I'll find out for you. And then you go search it up. Find out the answer and then go back and tell them. It's okay to not know. And sometimes I just say, you know what? God's God and I'm not. And I just don't even really understand everything he does, to be honest. And they're like, really? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke boldly. And look at this. I want you to look in your Bibles. I'm just so encouraged by verse 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John because they could see they were ordinary without special training. Anybody ordinary in the house? Anybody without special training in the scriptures? Now we have some, but you know, nobody in here is a theologian, myself included, right? We still got a lot to learn. We are ordinary like they were ordinary. And yet what stood out to them was their boldness despite the fact that they're just ordinary, untrained, uneducated people. And, everybody say, and? They knew they had been with Jesus. Can I tell you what will help you and I live in bold faith? The filling of the Holy Spirit and spending time with Jesus. I just gave you what you need to live bold. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, and you need to spend time with Jesus. That's why we're fasting for the next 21 days. Because I don't know about you, I need more. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need more of the presence of Jesus in my life because I need to live bold, and I can't do it without him. And so the boldness didn't come from their experience. It didn't come from their education. It came from being with Jesus. Come on. Watching Jesus, learning from Jesus, listening to Jesus, hanging out with Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. If they did it, you can too. Tell your neighbor, you can too. Because you're ordinary. They're willing to be bold. And their faith impacted others. I'm going to say it again. Their bold faith impacted others. It even impacted the angry, skeptical, critical influencers of their day. They didn't like what they said, but they were impacted by what they said. As I was writing this, I was reminded of a story when I was a senior in high school. I took an AP government class. And in that government class, our teacher encouraged dialogue. He wanted both sides of the story. And it seemed like I was the appointed person for one side, and there was someone who was like that on the other side. And so it was always the two of us representing the two sides and going at it. To the point where I remember one day in class, he was doing that, and she was doing it, and he looked at me like, please don't respond, I need to teach. So I just kept quiet. Well, that Christmas, I was putting together some little bags of Chips Ahoy cookies and cards for my friends, and I was writing out all the cards, and I was going through the list, and I was like, oh, I got one card left over. I'm like, who did I forget? And I was like Santa. I made a list. I checked it twice. And I had gotten everybody, and I still had an extra card, and I was like, huh. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, 17 years old, the Holy Spirit said, give it to Beth. I said, Beth, we're not even friends. Like, we weren't friends. We didn't hang out together. We weren't enemies, but we weren't friends. I was like, the one I argue with in class? Holy Spirit, I said, surely I missed some. I went back to my list, and I was checking it again just to make sure. And I was like, man, I got everybody. The Holy Spirit said, give it to Beth. And I was like, I really don't want to give it to Beth. What would that look like? God, if I went into class and I gave it to everybody's going to be like, whoa, and I don't know what she's going to say, and what if she rejects me, and I don't even know her like that. I mean, you know how the brain goes. And the Holy Spirit said, give it to Beth. I was like, oh, okay. So, dude, I'm at my kitchen table, and my hand's like this, and I'm like, what do I say to her? Like, yeah, I'm trying to write the card, you know? And I was like, okay. I was like, hey, Beth, I just wanted to give this to you and tell you that I respect you for the way you stand up for what you believe in. It inspires me to do the same. Have a Merry Christmas, Dawn. Holy Spirit, I ain't that smart. And I put the card in, and I wrapped up the Chips Ahoy's, and I went to school the next day, and this was fourth period after lunch, and I'm walking in, and I ain't gonna lie, I was like, oh. And I walk over, so my chair was in the front row, in the left side. She was way over here, in the back row, on the other side. So I get up out of my chair with my bag of cookies and my body like this, and I walk over there. My heart is like, and I'm like, what am I doing? And I said, hi, Beth. Merry Christmas. And I dropped it and I left. I was like, and my friends were like, and the whole class got quiet because everybody's like, you know, after lunch. And the whole class got silent. They're like, and she was like this. And I was like, oh. And I was like, oh my gosh, my friends were like, what did you just do? I said, I gave her a Christmas card and some cookies. Why? Because God told me to. And they just look up, they know me, so they're like, okay. The class starts, the teacher's teaching. About halfway through, you hear this little, ch-ch-ch-ch. She writes a note that's getting passed up. Okay, back then, guys, we didn't text. There was no cell phone. There was no paper. Okay. And so the paper is making its way to me in the front. And everyone who's passing it is like, it's from Beth to Don. It's from Beth to Don. It's from Beth to Don. I mean, like, literally the whole class was freaking out. And I get it. And all my friends are looking at me. I don't even know if the teacher was aware or not, because all I could was like, out. And I open up the letter and she says, thank you so much for giving me this card. I respect you too. And though I don't believe like you, I respect you. And I love these cookies. And I was like, oh, thank God. Sometimes bold faith means you do it freaking out on the inside. I don't know if she's ever become a believer or not, because my 30th was just not too long ago, so it's been a while. However, I'm believing that seeds were planted. I believe that seeds were planted, and that I've really been praying, even at different times since then, that the Lord would bring her to saving faith because of a simple card and some Chips Ahoy cookies. This is not a promo, I'm just saying. But the fact is, when we're willing to have bold faith, it impacts others. This was not my own idea that I came up with. It was from the Holy Spirit. And he gave me the power to overcome my freaking out 17-year-old self, to obey and to make an impact. And it just didn't impact Beth. The whole class was impacted by it. And you know what? We actually became, not friends, but like, hey. Bold faith impacts others. Let's keep reading in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 31. So they get told, stop preaching about Jesus. And they said, too bad. This is my own paraphrase. We must obey God rather than man. We will not stop speaking about what we have heard and seen. Okay? And now they're released and they're going back to their brothers and sisters who have been praying for them. And they come to God in prayer. And I'm going to pick up halfway through the prayer in verse 29. This is what it says. And now, O Lord, hear their threats. Because they were threatened. If you continue to speak in the name of Jesus, we will whip you. We will beat you. We will throw you in jail. Okay? And they said, Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they preached the word of God with boldness. This is key for you and I to have bold faith. You got to act. I have been asking God, increase my boldness. And that might surprise some of you because you think I'm bold already, but I know the arguments that go on the inside sometimes. I know the fear of man I have to overcome for the fear of God. I know how the enemy tries to get me to be quiet, and I just say, God, increase my boldness. Holy Spirit, make me bold. So this is your fair warning. I'm just going to get bolder and bolder and bolder. Because I love you and I love Jesus. And if you can't handle it, it's okay. There's churches for you. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But I want God's kingdom to come. I want lives to be saved. I want to impact people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to shrink back in fear and one day stand before the great throne of God and say, you could have impacted these people's lives, but you were too scared. I don't want that. I want to live bold. I want to live bold. I invite you to live bold with me. And it's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. They were filled with the Holy Spirit once again, and being filled with the Holy Spirit made them bold. It takes boldness for the angels to go in the street and do what they do. It takes boldness for all of our Good News Club, JYC, for us to go into the classrooms of public schools and preach the gospel. It takes boldness for us to go on mission trips to places we've never been before. It takes boldness to go to work every day, to work with integrity and kindness and love and compassion in a way that impacts other people. Live bold. Live bold. By the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pause here. I'm going to pray for boldness. And if you want it, join me. So God, we thank you that it's not by might or power, but by your Spirit. And so we ask right now, give us more boldness. Increase our boldness to preach the gospel in word and action, in love and deed. Give us boldness, God, to continue to bring the gospel into the streets and the byways, the highways, the classrooms, our workplaces, and even our family gatherings. Give us boldness, God. In Jesus, woo, amen. Yes, God. You know why Peter and John could live with such bold faith? Because they remembered what Jesus said in John chapter 15. Go to John 15. It's the book just before the book of Acts. John chapter 15, verse 18 through 21. Here's what Jesus said. If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, and so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally, they will persecute you. If they listen to me, they would listen to you. Verse 21, they will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. And then verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, I have told you these things so that you will not abandon your faith. So Jesus warns us, they hated me. If you're really my disciple, they're going to hate you too. That means you and I need to be free of trying to be liked by everybody. I can be respected for the way I live my faith, but I don't have to be liked and included. That means sometimes you get excluded from activities among friends. Sometimes it means you get excluded from work conversations because they respect you too much to include you. I had that experience in the hospital many times. I'd walk into the lunchroom and they say, oh, Don, you don't want to be a part of this conversation. You know what I said? Thanks. And I walked out. I didn't say, well, why are you having this conversation? I didn't do that. I was like, yo, thanks. Peace out. They may not like you, but they will respect you. And Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. There will be people who hate you simply because you believe in Jesus Christ. And that has to become okay with you. We still love our enemies. We turn the other cheek. We go the extra mile. We love like Jesus, bold love. To live bold, you got to have bold love. That means you're still kind to them even though they criticize you at work. It means you still help them when they make your life miserable. It means you still work hard even though they keep overlooking you for promotions because of your faith in Christ. Live bold. Bold faith, bold love. In Mark chapter 13, Mark chapter 13, a couple of books before that, Mark chapter 13, verse 9. Mark chapter 13, verse 9 says, when these things begin to happen, watch out, for you will be handed over to the local council and beaten in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. For the good news must first be preached to all nations. And when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry in advance about what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Peter and James remembered the words of Christ, and they spoke boldly by the power of the Holy Spirit when they were confronted by the religious leaders and influencers of their day. 2025, the call is to live bold. Tell your neighbor, live bold. Tell the other neighbor, live bold. Tell yourself, live bold. Here's the verse that kept just coming up in my head over and over again. Romans chapter 1. This is our theme verse for 2025, church. Memorize it if you don't have it memorized already. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ. Woo! I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. What does that mean? There is no one beyond the reach of the power of Jesus to touch and change their lives. Just like Josh shared in worship, you might think you're too far gone. You might think you've messed up too much. Well, I'm here to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to change your life. And why are you and I afraid to share the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We share our favorite eating places. We share our favorite coffee beverages. We talk about the latest movie, video game, pastime, movie, story. And yet, there's something there. What if we could live bold? Bold faith, bold love. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. It is accomplished from start to finish by faith. One more time. It is accomplished from start to finish by
faith,
not works, not self-control or will or effort, not by accomplishments or achievements. Faith. Faith makes us right. For the righteous live by faith. The righteous live by faith. Come on, my youth worship team. Get it on up here. I'm so proud of them. So proud. Aren't you proud of them? I'm seeing these young people learn how to be bold in their faith. Not just in church. But these young people go into the classrooms. They're part of the Good News Club at Los Molinos, and they're teaching elementary kids. They're part of the JYC with me at Newton High School, and they're teaching the junior high kids. In this church, we will raise our kids to have bold faith. We don't babysit, and we don't entertain. We disciple. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And can I tell you something, adults in the room? More is caught than taught. As a church, we can only offer so much for your kids, but the way you choose to live at home will have greater impact than what we can do on a Sunday morning or a Thursday night. Hear my heart. I'm so grateful for the family that I have. We get along, we like each other. And the older I get, the more I realize that's a gift. It's not true for a lot of families. My siblings and I were raised in a Christian home by imperfect parents who loved God the best they could. And they loved Him imperfectly, but authentically. And I've looked at my siblings and I, there's five of us, and I've looked at some of the people I've grown up with. I say, Lord, why in our family, why do all the adults, why are, as adults do we all serve the Lord? And you know what I realized? It's because my parents were the same at home as they were at church. They would take care of the widows in our church. They would visit the shut-ins and take us with them. They took us with them. We were talking about some of our favorite memories at the dinner that we did for my parents at their 50th. And a lot of us were talking about how they were so good about reading the Bible to us every day at dinner time that they took us with them to visit the widows. My dad would fix their cars and do their lawn, and I would get candy by the widows. Thanks, Dad. While you were working, they were giving us candy. But it impacted me because we weren't related, but my dad was there on his day off to help a widow with her yard work. Parents, it's the little things. Grandparents, aunties, uncles, listen to me. Live bold faith in front of your kids. Live bold faith. We will give your kids opportunity as you see. We love having kids on stage. We love having kids with us in our outreaches. We will train them. We will equip them. But you need to live it at home. Let them see you reading your Bible. Read the Bible to them. Novel idea, huh? Let them see how you make wise choices regarding entertainment. Help them learn how to make wise choices with their entertainment and devices. You don't have to be perfect parents in your faith, but you need to be authentic to live bold faith in front of your kids. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God at work to save everyone who believes. Live bold. Have bold faith, bold love. I want to get a few things on your calendar for 2025. If we could put that slide up, please. So our 21 days of prayer start tomorrow, and I have included a 30-day prayer guide that you can do in 21 days or the whole month of January on our website. If you go to hwcim.org and you go to the tab that talks about 21 days prayer and fasting, there's a prayer guide there that will walk you through how to pray for the government, how to pray for your family, how to pray for the church, how to pray for yourself. In February 22nd, there is a power evangelism conference that myself and some of the other leaders are going to, and I will invite you to come, and we will pay your registration costs. It will teach us how to evangelize leading up towards a 3-day event at the Rose Bowl, August 1 through 3. So if you want to go, let me know. We got our Light the World Community Market, where the community comes to us, happening on March 29th. I want you to come, whether you're doing something or not. Why? Because we need to engage with people. They need to know that the Church of God loves, and the Church of God is nice, and the Church of God is fun, and that the people of God are not scary or judgmental or critical. And the people say? All the people say? All right now. May Day, Los Angeles, is happening on May 31st for all churches, all denominations, downtown Los Angeles. I'm going to give you some more details because it's up the alley with what Give Soap does. And we're going to be out there. We're going to be a part of that, doing evangelism, doing some, they're going to have a bunch of, they want a bunch of beauticians and hairstylists to come out and to do that for the homeless and for families. They're going to give out food. They're going to give out gifts, and then they're going to evangelize. And we're going to be a part of that. All right. And then June 9th to 19th, if you want to join us in our Peru mission, July 4th, the community picnic that we'll be doing, July 26th, Day Away Camp. Invite your kids as friends, invite your cousins and other people that can come and join us. And then October 25th, Light the Night. This church does a lot. And I know it's a lot. And I know you can't do everything, but I am encouraging you to do what you can. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. In other words, I understand that you may not be able to do it all, but pray and find something and get behind it. Join us. We are giving you opportunities. Be a part of the Good News Club. Be a part of the JYC and the junior high. Be a part of our events. Join the men's group this Saturday at the Jimenez House. Get connected. Get plugged in. You're going to eat and watch football. I'm probably going to crash. Just saying, two of my favorite things, food and football. Be a part, connect, encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron. Let's live with bold faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. This is what Paul writes. He says, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jew and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now. He was in prison. And still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.